T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at action247.com. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station of children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parrish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Benadol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. And I hope you're ready to stay up late at least one more night in this 2021-22 NBA season, because we are headed for a 9 p.m. Central tip. Your Memphis Grizzlies, Golden State Warriors, Game 6 Western Conference Semifinals. It's later tonight. You need a nap? Get it in. Otherwise, get your energy drinks together like your Big Bet Bennett, because it's going to be a late night and hopefully a fun one. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, I'm going to be joined by Dan Wolk, a national columnist, USA Today. I'll talk to him about a number of things, including the NBA playoffs. Wolk will be here in the next segment. Finish that, what I would normally do, take a break, come back, do 4 notable stories at 4:44, at which point we would discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories. But today I want to use that time to talk with Memphis Athletics Director Laird Veach about his plans to renovate Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. It was announced yesterday. The artist's renderings look terrific. So we'll talk to Laird Veach in the third segment of this show. He's going to be here right around 4:45. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. And then I will eventually do Dinner to Go. Got a Dateline preview.
Nice.
Man shot in the head.
Ooh.
Inside his own home.
Oh, my goodness.
Was it an outside job or was it an inside job? There's only one way to find out. Well, actually, there's a lot of different ways to find out.
Sure.
One way.
Quick Google search.
Yeah, you could just Google it. You know, you could watch the Dateline previews that they put on Twitter, catch the names, then just start Googling. That's one way to find out. The other way, though, is to be here during Dinner to Go, where I will preview Dateline, and then just as soon as we're done previewing it, and I give Big Bet Bennett a chance to solve the crime, then I'll spoil it. I'll tell you everything you need to know, and we won't have to worry about watching Dateline tonight. That's the way we spend our Fridays. That's the rundown. We got a lot to get to. Did want to start with the Memphis Grizzlies, because we are now roughly 5 hours away from tip-off. Game 6, Western Conference Semifinals. Grizz Warriors Chase Center, San Francisco, California. It's a closeout game for Golden State. It's a must-win game for Memphis. The Warriors are 8-point favorites. The total's 218.5. Jessica Benson going to have pregame for you right here on 92.9 FM ESPN at 8:30. Eric Hasseltine on the call at 9. If you just absolutely have to watch it on TV, it'll be on ESPN. Big Ben Bennett, how you feeling? Excited, nervous, anxious, some combination of all three?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. But overall, excited. I'm ready, man. I'm glad it's on a Friday night. Like, you know, if there was to be a letdown, which I don't think there's going to be, but you know, you got time to at least have a weekend, right? Like, if it was Saturday, then you're kind of hung over on Sunday. Got the Sunday scaries. I like the Friday tip.
What is the Sunday scaries?
You know the Sunday scaries?
I don't know. That's why I asked.
Dude, you've never heard of the Sunday scaries? How have you never heard of that?
I don't know what you're saying.
It's like that feeling when you know you got to go to work on Monday and you got a full week ahead. The Sunday scaries.
That's what the Sunday scaries are.
Yeah.
I don't dread works. I don't dread, you know, I do know how most people like really mm-hmm. plan for the weekends and Monday through Friday
yeah, yeah.
is the, you know, you're just working for the weekend and all that stuff. I've never really, I don't mind working. Like I like not working, you know, 17 hours a day, but I never dread like the work week. Like
I
don't really look forward to Friday or dread Monday. I just sort of live my life.
Yeah, I feel that. I would think there's a lot of people. We also have cool jobs, so it's easy for us to say. I think that there's a lot of people out there that would beg to differ, but yeah, I feel your point.
Yeah, no, I hear that all. Yeah, I mean, I totally get it. Like, if I had a job or jobs that I hated, then I would, as you put it, get the Sunday scaries, because I'd be like, God, I got to go back and do that thing that I hate to do tomorrow. But the truth is, like, I've never really felt that way. I mean, I get overwhelmed sometimes with work, but I don't dread Monday. I don't ever sit around on Sunday and go, I can't believe I got to go back to work tomorrow. I'm like, it's just Monday. I'm going back mm-hmm. to work. I'm sure it'll be a good time. That's pretty fortunate, isn't it?
That is fortunate.
I'm pretty fortunate, too.
You are, man. I am, too.
Like, not dreading work is a fortunate situation to be in.
It is. It is.
Also a fortunate situation to be on. Up 3-2. In a 7-game series,
yeah.
with a home game coming up, and the other team's franchise point guard listed as out with a bone bruise in his right knee. And that is the situation the Golden State Warriors find themselves in tonight. Even though they were humiliated, they were whooped just like a trick a couple of nights ago inside FedEx Forum. Lost the game by 39, trailed it at one point by 55. The truth is, just like Steph Curry said, they are still very much in control of this series. It's why they are massive favorites to win tonight. And even if they don't win tonight, they will still be favorites, I would assume, to win a Game 7 inside FedEx Forum. Now, Game 5, they were a 4-point favorite. If they lost again tonight, I don't think they'd be a 4-point favorite.
I could see it being a pick 'em if they lost tonight, if the Warriors lost tonight.
I could see it coming down to 2.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that. 2 sounds about right. The truth is, those numbers never change as much as humans think they should change.
It's a good point.
They just don't. You know, like, there are series where a team would be favored at home or on the road every game, even if that team were about to get swept. In other words, team is an underdog on the road, wins the game. Underdog again on the road, wins the game. Comes home, underdog at home, wins the game. You might go, Jesus, they just beat this team 3 straight times. They would still be an underdog in Game 4 at home, because those numbers, a lot of it is algorithms and math stuff and computer stuff, and those numbers never move as much as you would think. So if the Grizzlies are going to advance to the Western Conference Finals to play either Dallas or Phoenix, they're going to have to win 2 more games as an underdog, which would be 3 straight games as an underdog, including a situation where they're 8-point underdogs tonight. It is a tall task. It is a big ask. It is an improbable way for this thing to unfold. And when we were talking about it a few days ago, it was like, I just can't see them winning 3 straight. But the good thing about winning that first one is that we're no longer talking about winning 3 straight. I mean, that's still part of the equation, but that mm-hmm. part's done. Now it's just winning 2 straight. Can you win 2 straight against a team that you just beat by 39, against a team that is dealing with its own injury problems, not to the extent that the Grizzlies are? You know, it's not Steph Curry out for Golden State like John Morant is out for Memphis. But Golden State is still without some key players, without their coach. And we haven't talked much about that, but that has to matter on some level.
Oh, it seems like it matters.
It has to matter on some level.
Yeah.
So they're without their coach. They're without some key players. And the truth is, over the past couple of games, even though the Warriors won one and the Grizzlies won one, the Grizzlies have been the better team over the past couple of games. And it's so frustrating to think about alternative ways this series could have gone, because just about every one of them leads to better stuff for the Grizzlies. If Steven Adams never gets COVID, if Ja doesn't get hurt, if Ja makes a layup.
In game one, yep.
Or they just hold on to a double-digit lead.
Yep.
In this other one that they lost in San Francisco. Like, there's so many realistic little things that you could change that would lead to the Grizzlies being on the verge of going to the Western Conference Finals. As it is, it's still an uphill battle. And when you hear people talk about, you know, what worries them about tonight, besides the obvious, you're an 8-point underdog on the road against the Golden State Warriors. Like, that in and of itself is problematic. But when folks get more specific, it's like, and this is what I would say, I'm not trying to put this off on anybody else, you know, it's like the Warriors always feel like they're capable of just bombing you out of the gym.
Yep.
And that's because they are always capable of doing it. They haven't really done it, but they're always capable of doing it. And the most likely, even though it hasn't really happened in this series, the most likely deathly thing that could happen to you, if Steph Curry just turns into Steph Curry, like best version of Steph Curry, and just bombs you out of the building. And if you're a Grizzlies fan, that's what you fear. And if you're a Warriors fan, that's what you're waiting on. But the truth is, it has not happened in this series.
Mm-hmm.
He's hit some big shots in this series, but he hasn't had a great game in this series. Game one, he was 8 of 20 from the field. Game two, 11 of 25 from the field. Game three, now this is good, 7 of 14, but he only took 14 shots. Game four, 10 of 25 from the field. Game five, 4 of 10 from the field. In this series, Steph Curry is shooting 42.8% from the field and just 32% from three. He's averaging 25.4 points in 34.8 minutes per game. On the season, he's better in every way. On the season, he shot 43.7% from the field. That's better than the 42.8 he is in this series. On the season, he shot 38% from three. That's much better than the 32% he's shooting in this series. On the season, he averaged 25.5 points in 34.5 minutes per game. So right now, if you want a bottom line, it's Steph Curry is taking more shots to score roughly the same amount of points in the series that he averaged in the regular season. Field goal percentage down, three-point percentage down. Is that a sign that the Grizzlies have figured something out with him? Or is it a sign that he's just not playing to his normal level lately, but that could come at any moment?
No, I mean, I think the Grizzlies have definitely figured something out. I don't say that to say that he can't overcome that tonight and just, like you said, bomb them out of the gym. But, yeah, I think they figured something out.
Certainly the Grizzlies are playing a role in this.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any getting around that. Some of it is, even when you're making things tough on him, like that's what has made him a transcendent generational talent, is that throughout his career, there has been points where you can't do anything with him. It doesn't matter how tough you're trying to make it on him, how tough you actually are making on him. He is arguably the greatest tough shot maker in the history of the sport, the greatest bad shot maker in the history of the sport, widely recognized as the greatest shooter in the history of the sport. But he might also be the best bad shot maker. Like, a lot of guys can take bad shots. How many of them can make them consistently? Now, Steph Curry is maybe the greatest all time at that. And so you're always at risk of him just going supernova. And it doesn't matter how much you're bothering him, how much link you're putting on him, how aggressively you're chasing him around, getting him off the three-point line, he can just start making tough and bad shots. It has not happened in this series. Hopefully it doesn't happen tonight. And if you're trying to, you know, guess, because that's all any of us are doing, about how this game might unfold, if you're looking for the best possible scenario for the Grizzlies, a way that the Grizz can actually win tonight on the road as an 8-point underdog and bring a Game 7 back to FedEx Forum on Monday night, can Steph Curry continue to be very, very average? For him, even below average. In this series, relative to his own standards, he has been below average. Can you keep him there? If they can keep him there tonight, you got a good chance of winning. If they don't, things get a little more complicated. Tip-off coming up, 9 o'clock here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Eric Hasseltine ahead of the call. It's Game 6, Grizzlies-Warriors. Right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Dan Walken is up next.
Jones has been sensational. He drops it off Jackson. Rhythm three from straight away, 27 feet out. Bring it up and put three on the board. And the Grizzlies are absolutely on fire tonight.
Tonight, the Memphis Grizzlies and Game 6 of the Western Conference Playoffs. It's the Warriors and the Grizzlies Game 6 tonight. Pre-game at 8:30 with Jessica Benson. The tip at 9 with Eric Hasseltine live. Smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN, 92.9 FM, 680 AM, or the Aussie app.
We're in the playoffs, and it's all here on 92.9.
James Davis is more than just a clothing store. It's a place filled with people who have genuine passion for what they do. They don't want to just make you look good. They want you to leave the store also feeling good. So if you haven't stopped by James Davis lately, this is Gary Parrish reminding you it's time to do so. The people are tremendous. The place is amazing. We're lucky to have James Davis in Memphis, and right now they have incredible items at incredible prices, including Stant custom shirts. For those unfamiliar, here's how that works. You walk in, folks at James Davis take three measurements, literally takes seconds. Then they punch those measurements into a computer and it spits out the name of one of 99 shirts inside James Davis. You grab that shirt, put it on, and you're going to realize quickly that the shirt looks like it was made specifically for you. Then you're going to pick the fabric and the pattern, and that shirt will be made specifically for you. It'll be ready in 2 weeks. Prices start at just $138. Once you get one, you'll never buy off the rack again. The place to go for the best in men's clothing is James Davis. Go see my friends Van and Rob in the Laurelwood Shopping Center and check them out on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
DQ presents. Picture this. You stand before the awe-inspiring new signature stack burger menu at DQ and your mouth wonders, where have you been all my life? That's 5 taste bud tempting cheeseburgers with 100% real seasoned beef. You peek at the loaded A1 stack burger with 2 premium sauces. Then the flamethrower stack burger with tongue-tingling jalapeno bacon. Then you realize moments like these are exactly why we have the DQ Signature Stack Burger menu. DQ. Happy tastes good. Get it delivered at DQ.com.
Everyone knows that Nature Valley Crunchy Bars are, well, crunchy. What they don't know is that they're also packed with 16 grams of whole grains, ready to help you get out there. Nature Valley. For every adventure.
Dealing with a dead battery? Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery testing to help you know if you need a new battery or not. Or if you're in need of a fresh charge, they can help you with that too. They've got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $69.99. And they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get access. Well, not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with deals like our Silver Unlimited plan for just $45 a month and no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for $249, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
If your vehicle squeals or grinds when you slow down or just isn't stopping like it used to, you may need new brake rotors and pads. Now through May 24th at O'Reilly Auto Parts, get 15% off a set of Brake Best Select or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors. Restore safe braking and save money now at O'Reilly Auto Parts or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Whether you're in business or in school, Staples has your tech.
How about wireless headphones so I'm not tied to my desk?
Staples has your tech.
A tablet for when I travel by train?
The latest laptop for a soon-to-be summa cum laude?
Staples offers tech solutions and accessories for learners, small business, and remote workers, too. From the latest laptops to networking solutions. And now, Apple AirPods Pro are just $199. You save $50. The latest tech solutions are at Staples, the working and learning store. Ends 5/14, limit 2 while supplies last.
Direct Auto Insurance is for uncompromisers. The people who refuse to make trade-offs in life. Like when Jeff's old car insurance got so expensive that he couldn't afford to drive anymore. You think he started begging for rides? No. But he did find Direct Auto's low down payment that allowed him to drive instead of compromise. With a down payment as low as $35, you too can stop compromising and keep driving. Get a quote today at directauto.com. Rates and pay plans vary. Low down payment is not savings. Terms apply. How you buy can affect price. National General Group, Winston, Salem.
At Kroger, we believe it takes the right team to bring you the freshest produce. That's why we partner with farmers who grow only the best. And that level of teamwork means better, fresher options time and time again. Working with farmers is what it takes to be fresh for everyone. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We're hiring for immediate openings with next day pay, benefits, and great perks. Apply today at jobs.kroger.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Run. Here come the menaces to sobriety like what? Super thug is dumping on a cut.
What? University of Memphis announced yesterday that they are planning somewhere between $150 million and $200 million worth of renovations to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Laird Veach, the Memphis Athletics Director, is going to join me in the next segment to talk about it. Jeff Calkins will be here at 5 o'clock. But right now, the National Columnist USA Today. It's Dan Wolkin making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Dan, let's start with the NBA playoffs. Last night, the Philadelphia 76ers were eliminated by the Miami Heat in six games. Their season comes to an end, and it comes to an end while James Harden continued to struggle. There had been some thought that this was going to be the partnership of the future. Joel Embiid, James Harden, running things in Philadelphia. Now that seems something like the opposite of the truth. If you're Philadelphia, what do you do with James Harden?
Yeah, it's a tough one because you have to sort of figure out, is he just sort of this because of some type of injury, because the hamstring never had a chance to fully heal? Is there a way that he can come back next season and for several seasons to come and be more like the player he was 3 years ago in Houston? Or is he just kind of past the peak of his prime and he's on the downward trajectory? He's obviously a guy who is renowned for maybe not, you know, taking the best care of himself, lifestyle stuff. Which is it? Because if it's the latter, then you have to be very concerned about giving him $200 million, which is basically what his next contract would be. And the options on how to build around that would be somewhat limited. Now, you know, they got some good pieces, but it's clear that they're going to have to make some trades, try to get off Tobias Harris if they can. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that they're going to have to do. And it's not going to be easy. I mean, it's pretty crazy that for all the hype and the process and all the losing they did and all the high draft picks they had, they still have not been to the conference finals. And now this whole idea of the process is reduced to Joel Embiid. Like, that's all they have left of that. So it's not a great situation.
You know, James Harden can live however he wants, same way I can live however I want, but the difference between James Harden and I is that I'm not a professional athlete, so my lifestyle doesn't really mess with my ability to tell stories and, you know, rank basketball teams and that kind of stuff. The list of basketball players who flourish deep into their 30s is very short. It's, at least in modern times, it's, you know, LeBron James, Chris Paul, and not many others. James Harden turns 33 years old this summer and has, let's just say, an active lifestyle that has been sort of a joke in NBA circles forever. You know, I think you bring that up for a reason, and I think it's perhaps the most important thing. There was some thought that they would give him a five-year contract extension, which would take him to, like, the age of 37, 38. If I'm Philadelphia, I just can't. I don't even know how you could begin to think about doing something like that.
Well, yeah, like athletes in all sports are lasting longer and playing better deep into their 30s because you have all these great advances in treatment, in training, in nutrition. But you have to have the player or the athlete buy into that and live it as their lifestyle in order to get that benefit. So, you know, somebody who, you know, is not coming in to camp every year in great shape, is not adhering to a diet that will benefit them nutritionally and help with their peak performance, if they're not, or if they, you know, are partaking in too much nightlife and all that stuff, like, that does take a toll. And, you know, that's kind of where we are with James Harden, where, yeah, he can make any choice he wants, but it does have to factor into the calculus of what you do with him as he gets into his mid and late 30s.
Are you surprised Dallas Phoenix is going to a Game 7?
I mean, I guess maybe a little bit, but it's just been an interesting series in that there's not been great games. It's kind of been all the home teams winning pretty comfortably. You have not had the buzzer-beater type of game. Maybe we'll get that in Game 7. But, yeah, like Phoenix, you know, in this playoffs, they've not been awesome. You know, they've done what they've needed to do at home for the most part, except for the early loss there to New Orleans. But, you know, their road record in the playoffs to this point is not awesome. So, you know, for whatever reason, they just have not done what they needed to do to get a win in Dallas or even come particularly close. And now you're in a situation where you've got to play a Game 7 where you're probably going to win. You're certainly the favorite, but you do have Luka on the other side, and that's a pretty scary situation.
What do you make of the Grizzlies now being 21-6 without Ja Morant, including a 39-point victory over Golden State a couple nights ago?
Yeah, it's a wild phenomenon. You know, I heard or I saw some clips from the Draymond Green podcast the other day, and I mean, I think he makes some good points. I mean, he's Draymond Green, so I will certainly allow he makes good points here. But they are a very different team in just the way they play. You know, when Ja is running their offense, fewer people touch the ball. It doesn't move around as much. You have one guy that the defense can focus on that you know, obviously he's hard to guard individually, but the defense knows who they have to stop when Ja's in the game. When he's not in the game, it changes the way they play offensively, and it changes the way they play defensively. And they're obviously much better defensively because Ja's somewhat of a traffic cone on defense, and you can get him into a lot of different actions and screens and kind of target him a little bit. So, yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon, and the sample size is big enough now that you can't just sort of dismiss it.
You know, the numbers are the numbers, and this is not a shot at Ja Morant, but the truth is that, like you said, he is the worst defender in the starting lineup for the Grizzlies by a significant margin, and when he doesn't play, they go from, you know, being a whatever defensive team to a great defensive team. You know, some people have physical limitations that will not allow them to be great on the defensive end. You know, the foot speed's too slow, they're physically overwhelmed, any number of things. Ja's a great athlete. He's got good size for, you know, a point guard. He's got wingspan that should be able to cause disruptions. With him, is it nothing more than focus and effort? Like, the only thing keeping Ja Morant from being a respectable defender is focus and effort.
I have not watched enough film and, like, broken it down with a coach or anything like that to, you know, intelligently comment on why on the defensive end he doesn't, you know, he's not as effective. And, you know, look, sometimes with guys who take on a huge load offensively where every possession they've got the ball and they're working to try to direct the offense, they don't use their energy on the defensive end because they can't, or they don't feel like they can because they need to have it all on offense. You know, that may be part of it. Some of it may be, you know, just sort of, I wouldn't say basketball IQ, but, you know, just kind of, you know, anticipation, and that's maybe an experience thing, you know, just playing against these teams time and time and again, year after year after year. And also, look, I mean, you know, other teams look at the opposing point guard often as the player that they're going to target. It happens with Luka. It happens with Trae Young. I mean, it happens with all the good point guards in the league, pretty much. And there's really not very many great, you know, offensive point guards who are also great defenders. So, you know, I don't think Ja's like alone in that category. But it is interesting, and it's certainly something that, you know, as the Grizzlies sort of evolve with their team, they're going to have to, I think, account for that and figure out it's going to put a premium on their personnel choices, because, you know, they have this great mix right now where, yeah, Ja's out. They, you know, they put in a lot of these other folks, and it gets other people involved in ways that they're not involved in. But, you know, then it comes time, well, how do you sort of figure out where to slot them from a salary standpoint? And then you've got the cap. You know, a lot of their young guys are going to be up for, you know, for contracts. And so making sense, I think it makes it more complicated to make sense of all that.
Talking to Dan Wolkin from USA Today. He is on Twitter at Dan Wolkin. It was announced yesterday that Rich Strike, the Kentucky Derby winner, is not going to participate in the Preakness, which seemed odd to me because I don't have a very good understanding of how horse racing works. You wrote a column about it and explained that, yes, we always see the Kentucky Derby winner run the Preakness as long as the horse is healthy enough because they're going for the Triple Crown. But the truth is, and this was fascinating to me, you would never run a horse of that caliber 2 weeks later under normal circumstances. Like, best I can tell from reading your column, this only happens with Kentucky Derby winners and a handful of others as it pertains to the Preakness. And the owners of Rich Strike have just basically said, we're not going to treat this horse differently than we otherwise would, simply because this horse just won the Kentucky Derby, which I thought was a pretty interesting educational story for a lot of us who don't really understand the ins and outs of this sport.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, you know, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, horses ran a lot more, and they ran a lot more frequently with less time in between races. It was fairly standard to run a horse every, you know, few weeks. Well, that's not the way it's done now. And there's a lot of reasons for that, and some of it is just like, In the breeding of thoroughbreds, it's been more oriented to speed, and so the horses just aren't sort of as sturdy and sound as they used to be, and so they have to be handled a little more carefully. And that's sort of the philosophy shift in training, where horses will almost never run with less than a month between races anymore. And so, yeah, that's the Triple Crown is a real outlier. Derby, 2 weeks later, Preakness, 3 weeks later, Belmont. It's a schedule that's crazy. It ruins a lot of horses. It you know, gets them in a place where after the Triple Crown is over, they basically need to take the whole summer off to recuperate. And yeah, so under normal circumstances, you would never wheel a horse back from a mile and a quarter race to run again at a mile and 3/16. But you do it because it's the Triple Crown, and I don't want to change. I think having that makes the Triple Crown unique. It makes it hard. It should be hard to win. And it's been won twice, so it can be in the last decade, so it can be done. But yeah, I give the full credit to the owner and trainer of Rich Strike for just saying we are not going to push the boundary here. We don't think our horse, we don't think it puts our horse in an advantageous position. And I think it's also a bit of an acknowledgement that they're not going to win the Triple Crown with this horse because he was an 80-1 shot in the Kentucky Derby.
Well, that was the other thing that I'll take their statement, as truth that they're doing what they believe is best for the horse. But it's also like they don't have a horse that was going to be a favorite in the Preakness. This was for people again who don't. And I know it's happened last Saturday, so it was a long time ago. But I mean, I watched the overhead replay of that. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. A horse just from the back, especially a big underdog, just fly by everybody. Like, how does something like that even happen?
Yeah, well, and what's interesting about that is from that overhead angle, it looks like, you know, this horse is just like really, really accelerating and running really, really fast. But what's actually happening in that race is that everybody is actually slowing down. And the horses who were in the lead and up front there are really, really tired, and they're basically stopping. And Rich Strike is the fastest of the slow horses, essentially. And, you know, that happens in a lot of horse races, especially the Derby. It's a mile and a quarter. It's a long race. And the pace was extremely fast. 45 and change running a mile and a quarter is suicidal. And the race sort of fell apart. And the pace was basically unsustainable. And he was the beneficiary of it. And obviously had a great trip around the rail, saved all the ground, and won. But let's not mistake it for what it is. It was kind of a fluke race. And, you know, I'd be surprised if we hear much from Rich Strike going forward as some great horse.
Wrapping up here with Dan Walken from USA Today. Last thing before I let you go, it was just announced that Phil Mickelson will not participate in the 2022 PGA Championship. He won the event last year, becoming the oldest person to ever win a major championship. He doesn't have any injury or health concerns. This is simply his step away from the sport. The PGA did make it clear he is eligible to play. Like, if he wanted to play, he could have played. That is at least their statement. What do you think the future of Phil Mickelson looks like?
I mean, it's probably on this Saudi Arabian tour. I mean, I don't know. Like, at this point, if a lot of the stuff that's out there is true in terms of him losing $40 million and gambling over a period of time, and, you know, a lot of the rumors that have been out there about his financial situation, and, like, you know, I don't think, like, Phil Mickelson's about to, you know, be homeless or go to the poorhouse or anything, but in terms of, you know, having the kind of wealth that somebody in his position should have, he may be in a situation where he needs to take that money, that if it's still available to him, and he's lost sponsors and all this other stuff. You know, that seems to me to be motivated the choices he made. So, you know, I expect him to just play that thing. But it's strange. I mean, I can't remember somebody in sports who's gone from one of the most kind of universally beloved, uncontroversial figures, but a very short period of time. It's really almost without precedent.
I would present O.J. Simpson.
Well, yeah, well, short of committing murder.
Yes. Hey, to go from what Phil was to what Phil is without actually murdering two people is undeniably unique, and it's a wild story. I think you're probably right. He just takes the money from the Saudi Arabian back tour and, you know, goes and makes a lot of money playing golf in a league that a lot of people would prefer not exist. That's Dan Walken from USA Today. Make sure you read him. USATody.com. He's on Twitter at Dan Walken. Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend.
See you, GP.
All right. When we come back, Laird Veach is the athletics director at the University of Memphis, announced yesterday we're doing maybe $200 million worth of renovations to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. How do you go about trying to raise between $150 and $200 million? We'll talk to Laird Veach about it next. You're listening. Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You know who'd look good driving around town in a brand new Lexus? You! And in May, The Fitz is giving away two of them in the Lexus and Promo Cash Giveaway. Thousands of dollars in promo cash are yours for the winning in May. Then on the 14th and the 28th, you can also win a 2022 Lexus. Does The Fitz know how to treat their players? Yeah. Just come in and win. The Fitz Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here.
Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is Alan with Pyramid Properties, and I buy houses cash. If you own a house and want to sell it fast at a fair price, call me at 901-203-2222. I can pay cash and close in as little as 7 days. I buy houses in any condition, any price range, and any location in greater Memphis, including DeSoto County in Mississippi and West Memphis, Arkansas. I'm an independent real estate investor who buys several houses a month, and I want to buy more. I buy inherited houses, divorce houses, behind in payment houses. I even buy my tenant won't pay me the rent houses. Do you own a house that is trashed and needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Perfect, because I love buying junk houses. I buy vacant houses, abandoned houses, condemned houses, and foreclosure houses. If you own a house and want to sell it fast, call me at 901-203-2222. That's 901-203-2222. 901-203-2222.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
I love my Charmin Super Mega Folding. Charmin. Charmin's got six rolls in one. Lasts forever on my buns. Only Super Mega when I'm cleaning. Charmin's got my booty believing.
Charmin's Super Mega Roll is six regular rolls in one. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Kelley Blue Book is the one-stop shop for pricing, fixing, selling, and instant cash offering. Instant cash offer is exactly what it sounds like. An official offer to buy or trade your car.
Woo-hoo!
Just enter your VIN or license plate. Answer a few questions about your car's history and what kind of condition it's in. In minutes, you'll receive an offer to sell or trade your car that you can be sure is fair. Then choose a dealer to purchase your car and schedule a time to meet. For all of the it's, KBB.com.
Mississippi Land Bank is unique in the marketplace, and Bobby Spinks, Senior Vice President of Lending, explains their patronage program is a prime example of how.
Our patronage dividend program sets us apart from any other financial institution in our area, and it's a way that we can give back. All of my customers are my owners, and that's unique and different. When we're successful, they're successful. We share those benefits with them.
For more information on Mississippi Land Bank's patronage program, visit mslandbank.com.
My crusade for the perfect pizza crust has led me here, pining over a backyard wood-fired oven. But how do I bake this build into my budget? Where can I get some solid guidance on my finances? Who can help me understand if I have the dough for this?
A little financial advice. At Regions, we know that's important because your Life Green checking account comes with Green Print, financial planning with a banker who will help you create a personal budget and live in the moment. Make your appointment at regions.com/greenprint. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Wow, Linda, everything in your backyard looks so green and beautiful. What's the one over there?
That's a flowering dogwood.
And what about that one?
That's a star magnolia.
Ooh, and how about those over there?
Oh, those are the new May Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery. With chances to win up to $500,000, they might be the greenest thing I plant all year.
Don't just settle for a green thumb this spring. Go for a greener wallet with new Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You'd be amazed to learn what one Tennessee Lottery ticket can lead to. For you, it could be lucky, but for others, it could open the door to so much more. With more than $6 billion raised for education, the Tennessee Lottery has proudly funded over 1.5 million scholarships and grants. That means, on average, more than 130,000 Tennesseans every year continue their education just because you played. The Tennessee Education Lottery, game-changing, education-benefiting fun.
Regions Bank presents Live at the Garden 2022 at the beautiful Memphis Botanic Garden. This year's lineup, June 11th, Steely Dan. July 15th, Darius Rucker plays the Garden. August 20th, it's Lady A. The Doobie Brothers with Michael McDonald September 3rd and October 20th, Chicago. Season-long tickets are sold out. Only individual show-long tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com. More info, go to RadiantZamp.com. Also presented by Duncan Williams Investment Bankers, AutoZone, Gossett Motors, True Green, The Lilly Company, Pro Show, and Mahaffey Events.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. This is Jeffrey Wright inviting you to register using code WRIGHT200, W-R-I-G-H-T 200, and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 money line wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com, use code WRIGHT200, WRIGHT200 to win $200 when you bet $10 on an MLB game and either team hits a home run. Major League Baseball, trademark used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. 8-9.
If you live in the Memphis area, you should have heard of Stack's Pancake Kitchen by now. It's tremendous. My favorite breakfast spot. And this is Gary Parrish with some great news, specifically that the new location is open in South Haven. They're in the new Silo Square right across from Snowden. So Stack's is now in East Memphis, Germantown, and South Haven, meaning wherever you are, you're close to one. It's locally owned and operated. More importantly, it's awesome. So pop into one of the locations or let Stack's cater for you. It's Stack's Pancake Kitchen, home of the outstanding Stack's Breakfast Burger. Online, Stack's Pancakes.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The University of Memphis and the City of Memphis announced yesterday that they're going to do a renovation plan at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Somewhere between $150 million and $200 million. The artist renderings look terrific. The man in charge of helping make it happen now is Memphis Athletics Director Laird Veach, and he joins me here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Laird, it's Gary. How you doing?
I'm good, Gary. How are you?
I'm great, man. I appreciate your time. Thank you for being here. Really excited about what you guys announced yesterday. Let me start with this. How much of this, what we're going to try to do at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, is rooted to the fact, or at least the idea, we have to do something now, and this is the best thing we can do right now?
I think urgency in this time frame is very real, and so that absolutely factored into it in a major way. Wasn't the only factor, but and I would like to think that, you know, we are also thinking big picture and long term, particularly with the magnitude of what we're trying to take on. But there's no question this is a critical time in college athletics, and there is a lot of potential change on the horizon, whether that is conference realignment or, you know, the shakeup of just college athletics overall. So, that anybody you talk to, and I know, Gary, you probably talk to more than I do even, that nobody really knows exactly what to predict about how this is going to shake out, but clearly everybody expects change over the next few years in a significant way, and there's likely to be some line of demarcation, right? So it is time to go all in and show the college athletics universe that Memphis is for real.
In the last round of realignment, where the Big 12 did take some schools but not the University of Memphis, how much in conversations you had with people or in conversations Dr. Rudd had with people did the state of the Liberty Bowl work against you?
You know, it's interesting. I didn't necessarily come up proactively from others you talked to, but when you ask the question, it sort of frames their perspective of us, right? And what they see there and their experience there, where they've come to the Liberty Bowl or they've seen venues. And then it sort of relates to the question of, are we committed and sustainable when it comes to true college football success? And as I always hate to say this, because, we have some great basketball coaches around here and a lot of other sports, too, that are important. But the reality of it is football drives that conversation. So you have to demonstrate to those folks that if they're going to consider us as a business partner, right, that they want to bring to the table, are we going to bring the kind of value that they need in that space moving forward? And you got to, demonstrate that by, we have the capacity and passion and willingness to, invest at a high level to be a very viable partner.
One of the things I appreciated about the way you talked about this yesterday is that you didn't hide from the on-campus option. You acknowledged that it was an interesting option, and it is something you guys seriously looked at, and you do have space on campus to do it. In years past, in different times, you would have some people insisting, people connected to the university, that it either wasn't possible from a land perspective or for various other reasons, or that it even wasn't a good idea. I can appreciate you acknowledge it's an interesting idea, that it is possible from a space perspective, but it also would have cost you around $400 million. And if you need to do something now, there's a big difference between raising $400 million and, say, $200 million. How close, if at all, did you or the university in general ever get to trying to see, okay, we know it's very expensive, much more expensive. Is there a creative way to get this done, or did those conversations stop just as soon as you realized what it would cost?
It did not stop just as soon as we realized what it would cost. In fact, there were, you know, several conversations about, okay, how could we get creative to do this? What would it take? What would our options be? We genuinely explored this deeply. And I will tell you, I've had people that are, you know, very passionate about the on-campus stadium, talk to me even before this process, right, before we announced it yesterday. And I get it. We dug into this thing and started exploring it and started thinking about the benefits of it and looking at it from all angles. I understand the emotion and passion behind that and the benefits of it. In the end, it came down to what's the best overall value and, you know, strategic decision for the institution. And, you know, this, considering all factors, I am very confident this is it. But I recognize it's hard, and I've recognized the idea of what that could have been. But we can do everything we really need to service this university and this city in a much more economical and the time constraints would be very different, right? I mean, to take on a on-campus stadium like that is just going to take more years. There's no question. That's just a longer, more challenging process. So I'm excited about where we're headed, but it was a long and tedious process. And I've said this too today a few times, that it took longer than what I wanted and what others did. And that's why, because we had a lot of things to consider, and it was also really important that leadership was aligned on the decision, and we worked through that process to get to the right place.
Be honest with me. You ever sit around and go, God, I wish somebody would have done this 20 years ago?
You know, sure. You know, I think everybody would think that Gary, there's a lot of things in my job that I wish somebody would have been able to do before
I understand.
So that's not the only one. And I do think it's hindsight. There's always constraints and challenges and difficulties at those times that drive those decisions. I wouldn't be critical of them, but yeah, that would have been awesome.
I'm talking to Laird Veach, athletics director at the University of Memphis. Forgive me if this is a silly question, but how easy or difficult is it to actually raise $150 million to $200 million?
It is hard. I have had the fortune, and I'm not trying to, you know, share my resume here or anything, but I have had the fortune of being in a few places that have done some really big things. And raise that kind of money in projects like this. And it usually takes getting creative from various directions. And, you know, when we say we're going to need everybody to come to the table, we really are. And that's, you know, that's us, that's the city, that's our major donors. That is, you know, every angle we can come up with, we're going to need to try to do it. But it is doable. And I will tell you, it really comes down to capacity and passion. And I think we have both here. But we haven't done something like that to this level in the past. So we're going to have to think a little differently. We're going to have to ask our people to think differently, think bigger and think more long term. But that's also why we needed to have a vision that's this compelling, right? That is something people will recognize and understand the potential impact and what it can mean. So it's a lot of work, but I do believe it can be done.
As the plans go right now, you will play at least one season of football inside Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium while the stadium is being renovated. Do you have a sense, or is it too early to know, you know, what that would look like and what challenges would come with it?
Yeah, you know, I have a sense, again, just because, I've been at a place that's done it before, and actually a fairly similar type of concept. It really, not to oversimplify it, but it comes down to you have your construction zones and you have your open areas. And you just, you know, you fence off, you control and protect the construction areas, and then you work with the remainder of the stadium. Now, you know, that is, again, it sounds, I'm oversimplifying, but, you know, you can still have access to half or two-thirds of the stadium for fans, and you can still have access to the locker room and the fields and work around that in other ways. And it's, well, it's not ideal. It's much better than trying to pick up the whole operation and move to, you know, a whole other venue. So it is doable. It's been done at other places, and you know, contractors at that kind of level have become pretty adept at managing, you know, those types of scenarios.
One of the complaints forever about the stadium has been that it's simply too big for the Memphis football program. You can fill it up every once in a while, but more often than not, even when you have a great crowd relative to other college football crowds, it's just not going to look the way it should look on television. I can't tell you how many times I've had people, you know, watching on TV, say on CBS Sports Network, and my colleagues will text me and go, "Jesus, Memphis is good. Why aren't there more people there?" And I'm like, "There's 42,000 people there right now. It just doesn't look like it. That's a great crowd. It just doesn't look like it." I believe my understanding is that the renovation will decrease capacity to some degree. Was there a number that you wanted to hit with this issue in mind?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think that does cut both ways. I mean, I understand and appreciate where you're coming from. And it's like I said, you know, an ideal stadium, if it were a new stadium for us, is probably more in the, you know, 40 to low 40s kind of range. You know, in the end, the ultimate factor is having the kinds of seats and areas that people want to come in and enjoy, right? And we do have the footprint to do that here. You know, obviously we're going to recreate the whole west side, but you also have, by having extra space, we can do some creative things with, you know, whether it's those kind of load boxes or patios, party decks, kind of things that we have started on a temporary basis here over the last couple of years. You can do that and take up some more seats. And I think there could be other options we can consider as we go through it that'll help with that. But I also think, you know, you don't necessarily want to just cut to cut. I mean, I think it's let's be strategic and thoughtful about it, because there may actually become a day when, you know, we do want to grow. You know, what if we get into a Power Five and we become even more of a power and things grow more and more? You could be, you know, 10, 15 years ago looking back and saying, "Man, I wish we wouldn't have cut out, you know, 10,000 seats." So it cuts both ways. I like the fact that we have flexibility and we can, you know, work through and just find what really fits us.
That is Laird Veach, University of Memphis Athletics Director, announced yesterday that there's going to be somewhere between $150 million and $200 million worth of renovations at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Laird, like I told you, the artist renderings look terrific. I can't wait to see the finished product, and I appreciate you spending a few minutes with me to talk about it this afternoon.
Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate your time. Go Tigers.
All right, go Tigers. Take care, Laird. That's Laird Veach, Memphis Athletics Director, here on 92.9 FM ESPN. When we come back, Jeff Calkins is a national columnist. No, he's not. No, he's not.
He's not a national columnist.
He's not.
Wow.
I take that back.
I mean, I think that he's recognized nationally.
He's a columnist who is recognized nationally.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't like to uncall him a national columnist, you know? I didn't want to put that on and say, "Oh, no, he's not."
Right.
That seems unnecessary.
It's okay.
Let's try it again.
I think he'll get over it.
Let's try it again.
Go ahead.
Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist who is recognized nationally for the Daily Memphian. Also the host of the Jeff Calkins Show. He'll join me next.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis celebrates a legacy of sports in the Mid-South as flagship home of the Grizzlies and Tigers talk on the Odyssey app. Powered by DuckDuckGo, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Seedco, a national nonprofit, has served in Memphis and the Mid-South for over 16 years and is working to respond to the needs of our community. Seedco's Linking You and Neighbors to Coverage program gets you enrolled in affordable health care coverage. Are you a retiree, a college student, or simply in need of a more affordable health care plan? Seedco can help. Through simplified marketplace enrollments and state coverage, you, your family, your neighbors can access affordable plans, some as low as $0 per month. Pre-existing conditions are covered. Medical, dental, and vision are
covered. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.